It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Zach Shulkin from Memphis, Tennessee, is president of his high school's Environmental and Conservation Club.
The reason that I came here was to bring back new knowledge for ways that I could help my club and also the school. And I also learned many new ways, actually, that I can improve my school to make it greener.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. Yesterday, we heard about a new book, Place of the Skull, that explores the legend behind the name Wheeling. This morning, we pick up where we left off to hear what author Alan Fitzpatrick was able to uncover in his search. Glynis Board reports.
It was probably, I'm going to say, the darkest chapter of American history that ever happened. More than the Civil War, maybe the numbers of casualties weren't as high, but it was as close to ethnic cleansing as any war has been, because these two peoples, the gulf of misunderstanding and mistrust was just so wide that they could not come together on anything.
Alan Fitzpatrick, author of several books that explore America in the 18th century, says when indigenous people severed a head from a body and displayed it, not only did it forever damn that spirit to unrest, it also marked an evil. The indigenous Americans feared wanted to destroy them. And of course, in a way, they were right.
Severing the skull was a way of ultimate vengeance. And now we strike upon the heart of how Native American people viewed things of that at that time. Vengeance was at the top of their list. Tribal people today, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, will fight each other until no one's left, all over vengeance.
Fitzpatrick's search to discover the root of the legend of the beheaded white settler and the source of the name Wheeling took him to the mid-1700s. He spent a lot of time in the Pennsylvania archives piecing together the scene.
I know in 1749, there's no white settlers. None. Zero. That part of the legend is false. None arrive until 25 years later. The French were on an expedition. There are no Frenchmen, French settlers. There's no war. There's no white people this side of the mountains to have a war with. You see, so who is this white man? What's he doing there? What white men were here?
What is known is that a well-established east-west path used by many tribes crosses through Wheeling and, in fact, still exists today as National Road or Route 40. Fitzpatrick reports that in the 18th century, tribes and clans would come to the area to hunt, as well as trade for European goods. And as Europeans continued to land on the East Coast, Native tribes were increasingly displaced westward. Fitzpatrick says in the mid to early 1700s, white men were beginning to cross the mountains with trains of horses to trade goods with Native people who were, in turn, hungry for European goods and technologies. He says white traders, licensed by the Pennsylvania government, hired rough and tumble hardy frontiersmen to help with the expeditions and the horses. And the traders often carried rum as a gift and social lubricant.
The men that they hired got the idea that now they know the trail, now they know how cheap rum is to buy. What if they bring 15 horses loaded with rum only and get there before the licensed traders do and get the Indians drunk and take all their furs?
In the 1730s, reports began to flood in. Whole villages would be engulfed in rum and then would be robbed. It was lucrative, Fitzpatrick says, so rampant corruption followed.
Imagine now that there's any way to police this across the mountains. There's no way. The government can do nothing. The government says to the Indians, this is your problem.
Fitzpatrick goes on to explain that what happened next was most likely inevitable.
And there's a little note in the archives that a fellow named Hendricks was down the Ohio River during this time period, his word comes in 1744, comes to gets to Philadelphia, that he heard guns go off and heard shrieks, unnamed place, but that the Indians were killing somebody. Mm-hmm. And therein is the most likely explanation for that somebody was caught.
Fitzpatrick says rum traders continued with their business, but it was after that point, and as settlers did move west over the next 30 years, that settlers and indigenous people began to encounter Wielunk. To native people, it was a place to be avoided and a source of white evil. Fitzpatrick speculates that the reason Fort Henry continued to be attacked was because some tribes were trying with abandon and in vain to fight that evil back.
It's akin to, the closest thing I can come up with is, I've never been to Poland, but I know somewhere in Poland, in my mind, when I think of Poland, I think there's a little town somewhere called Auschwitz, and I've never seen it, but I know in my mind that it was a place of evil was done there against Jewish people. And to Native Americans, to Indians who'd never been to Wheeling, the legacy persisted. After there's intermediate, there's war, several wars, Lord Dunmore's War, the American Revolution, the French and Indian War. Indians were quick to blame that the source was Wheeling, that it came from Wheeling, that there was an evil spirit at Wheeling, that it was a white man's evil spirit, not an Indian evil spirit, that this was a place to be avoided, that this evil spirit wanted to destroy Indians. You see, in their mind, that's how they perceived it.
Fitzpatrick says in his mind, the mystery is put to rest, and his books are his attempt to correct history and to try to put a human face on the nameless, displaced savage who lived here before the white man. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in McMeekin.
110 high school students from around the world are taking part in a week-long event in Shepherdstown that encourages them to develop conservation leadership skills. The Student Climate and Conservation Conference asks the question, how are we as global citizens going to bring back and contribute to our schools and communities? Cecilia Mason spoke with three students and one instructor about what they're learning and how they plan to use that knowledge when they return home.
The Student Climate Conference, called SC3 for short, brings together students representing 30 states and 9 countries, including Brazil, France, and Somalia. The event is sponsored by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Green Schools Alliance. The students are tasked with going back to their communities with a plan of action.
My name is Megan Cooper. I am from Matamoros, PA, and I go to the Darrow School in New Albany, New York. Through the networking group and through what I know in my school that I already has, I really will be working with awareness. And my school's kids from all different, total different backgrounds. So I'm going to be working on just bringing people together and realizing what we do have and where we can go from that. I haven't decided where that will be yet or anything, but just bringing all this knowledge together, that is, the knowledge is basically what will bring us further.
My name is Jared Buxton. I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and I go to Oak Mountain High School, Meadowbrook. Well, I'm definitely going to start by trying to get my school to join the Green Schools Alliance. Also going to try to work with this group called the Alabama Environmental Council. So I tell them about SC3 and how I want them to work with my school and just apply what I learned here.
My name is Zach Shulkin. I am the founder and president of the Environmental Conservation Club at my school. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I go to Memphis University School. The reason that I came here was to bring back new knowledge for ways that I could help my club and also the school. And I also learned many new ways, actually, that I can improve my school to make it greener, such as I had thought before, because my school actually contracts with this cafeteria company called Sodexo. I had originally thought that they only provided styrofoam plates, But I was talking about that, and one of the guys who are working, who I'm working with, said that his school actually also contracts with Sodexo, and he said that they are willing and able to provide different things like paper plates or plastic to prevent all the waste that has been caused by my school.
Susie Marvin is a public school teacher from Leslie County, Kentucky, who is a faculty member teaching during the SC3 conference. Like the students, Marvin plans to implement some of what she's learning here.
I think one major thing I'll be bringing back is a lot of really practical ideas for the classroom. The faculty at SC3, a lot of them have been teachers for many, many years. And I'm a pretty fresh teacher. I just finished my first year of teaching. So I'll be bringing back a lot of great ideas from the students and the faculty as well to use in my classroom.
Do you have an example or two?
So the group that I'm helping facilitate here is the Sustainable Agriculture Group, talking about what we can do to provide fresh food to people who have a difficult time accessing that, and how we can make our agricultural practices more sustainable. And one way that I hope to do that in my school in the future is we've got this great little greenhouse out back, and the kids last year expressed interest in starting the greenhouse project up. So in talking with people at the conference, I've been able to get some ideas on how we could really help that project to take root at our school.
The first SC3 took place in 2009, and since then, 700 students have graduated from it. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:41. Dense fog this morning, giving way to sunny skies today. Temperatures near 90 degrees, mostly clear overnight with lows in the high 60s. Partly sunny with scattered rain and thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Temperatures in the mid-80s to near 90 degrees in the weekend.
Support provided by the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, working to diversify the economy in the New River Gorge region of West Virginia, serving Fayette, Nicholas, Raleigh, and Summers counties, nrgrda.org.
Jason Isbell performs Traveling Alone on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Mountains rough this time of year. Close the highway down. They don't warn the town. And I've been fighting second gear for 15 miles or so, trying to beat the endless snow. I know every town we're passing through, what good does no one do? No one to show it to. And I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride? I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? Won't you ride? Won't you ride? And I quit talking to myself, listening to the radio a long, long time ago. Damn near strangled by my appetite. Ebor City on a Friday night. Couldn't
just danced away. And I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired.
Thank you.
Jason Isbell with Traveling Alone. You can hear this song again and more music on Mountain Stage, Sunday afternoon at 2, right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Bohr, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Beneduccio, and it is with sadness that we must say goodbye to Ben. Our assistant news director and reporter in Morgantown for 5 years, Ben is leaving West Virginia Public Broadcasting to seek other opportunities. I know you all join all of us in wishing Ben all the best. Our director this morning is Bill Lynch. I'm Beth Voorhees.